Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 21, Global Education 2000. My programmed role toward implementing Education 2000 according to the plans of those ushering in the New World Order brought me back in contact with former Governor of Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, and eventually Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. I had met Lamar Alexander in 1973. At a satanic ritual I was subjected to in an affluent neighborhood of Nashville, Tennessee. Lamar Alexander presided over this sex-oriented occult ritual with full understanding of my Project Monarch mind control victimization and the impact his actions were having on my mind. It was my experience then, and intermittently throughout the years, that Lamar Alexander's sexual perversion was to bring his victim to the point of death through oral suffocation. During the course of publicly exposing Tennessee's need for education reform as instructed, I was in contact with commissioners, superintendents, mayors, and Lamar Alexander. Lamar Alexander, who followed Bennett as Bush's Secretary of Education, worked in close association with Bill Bennett to manipulate the minds of the masses to accept Education 2000 as the only means of education reform. When Ned McCutcheon was moved into the office of governor to rubber stamp federal projects, Lamar Alexander maintained influence over state politics. At the same time, he maintained influence over national politics through his role as chairman of the National Governors Association in 1986. As the J-984 Governors Convention drew near, I met with Lamar Alexander at the Stockyard nightclub where he was drinking with his longtime associate and partner in crime, Nashville's Mayor Richard Fulton. In the basement bar of this old, converted Stockyard was a modified antique, shoeshine, booth, where the term took on new meaning. A key to a private shoeshine booth could be obtained by those in the know through Stockyard owner, Buddy Killen. This closet-sized booth was lined in mirrors and had a small bench where Lamar Alexander sat after our business was concluded. I knelt at his feet as ordered to perform oral sex. Programmed sex slaves such as myself were trained to go long periods of time without drawing a breath, and users such as Alexander stretched this time to the maximum. One. On this occasion, Alexander apparently exceeded the maximum. I do not recall completion of my programmed task. It was after as when my mind control handler, Alex Houston, dragged my limp body from the booth, roused me, and ordered me out of the building. Buddy Killen opened a back door that once was a cattle run, and Houston half dragged me out the back exit unseen. The night of the convention, Alex Houston's youngest daughter, Bonnie Cometa, was to join me. Bonnie and Dee were close to the same age, and together we dressed for the occasion. As a prostitute, Bonnie was familiar with Lamar Alexander and his perversions but nevertheless was excited at the prospect of seeing old friends at the convention via Louise Mandrill, 3, who would be entertaining there. The camaraderie between Alex Houston and Mandrill that developed during Bob Helps USO tours in the 1960s lasted for decades due to their shared involvement in running mind-controlled slaves for Bird. Bonnie shared in this friendship with the Mandrills and was looking forward to seeing her friends in the band. I, too, was looking forward to talking with Louise Mandrill, but for a very different reason. Barbara had just endured her near-fatal car crash, and I was deeply concerned for her welfare. Throughout the 1980s while traveling under the guise of the country music industry, Alex Houston toured with Barbara and / Louise Mandrill on a regular basis. Occasionally Barbara and I saw each other in church, the Hendersonville Lord's Chapel. This church was an offshoot of Billy Roy Moore's Lord's Chapel, and was pastored by his mind-controlled slave, Mike Nelson, who became close friends with Barbara. For Alex Houston and I were present when Mike Nelson broke program, and attempted to flee for his life with Barbara Mandrill. The pastor was subdued with a stun gun and immediately relieved of his position, while Barbara frantically sought answers to the questions the two of them had managed to raise. Alex Houston was touring with Louise Mandrell in 1984 when Louise had a premonition of Barbara's imminent demise, much the same way Loretta Lynn psychically predicted her son's murder. Like the murders of Loretta's son and country music entertainer Keith Whitley, I was aware of Barbara's planned accident before it occurred due to Alex Houston's direct involvement. These dramas were also used as a means of locking in my mind-controlled belief that I had nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Worst of all, I could not think to speak of what I knew due to my own absolute mind control. While Barbara physically survived her ordeal, her voice was silenced as planned. When Bonnie and I arrived at Opryland Hotel, we hurried to the ballroom where Louise Mandrell would be performing. My concern for Barbara detracted me from my appointment with Lamar Alexander until one of Louise's dancers who knew of my role put me back on track. "What are you doing here?" he demanded. "You're supposed to be at Rit Butler's restaurant now." I hurried to the restaurant where Lamar Alexander was having dinner with Senator Byrd and several governors. Byrd was participating in the function for reasons unknown to me, but I was aware that he had fiddled at the Opry. Byrd stopped eating just long enough to acknowledge my presence. "Where have you been?" "I was checking on Barbara over at the show," I replied as Lamar Alexander excused himself and walked over. Putting an arm around me and turning me away from the table, he whispered, "You could wind up just like her if you don't get with the program. You've got programs to hand out. But right now, you're interrupting my dinner. Have you had anything to drink?" "No, sir," I replied, traumatized at the magnitude of his threat. Lamar Alexander instructed me to leave immediately, order a grasshopper from the conservatory bar, and wait for further instructions. It was a matter of routine for me to order a grasshopper from Opryland Hotel's conservatory. The ice cream drink was specially made, always with a hypnotic drug in it. As sometimes happened, the waitress was unfamiliar with the process, and conservatory harp player and CIA operative Lloyd Lindroth interceded. The drug had the same effect as that administered at the DC NASA Programming Center by Bennett, and my mode was robotic compliance. After the drug kicked in, Lloyd Lindroth instructed me to proceed to the main ballroom of the hotel, where Lamar Alexander would be meeting me. The outer lobby of the ballroom was decorated in wall-size murals that extended to the top of the Gothic ceiling. A life-size steam engine depicted on the far wall appeared to be racing toward the grand staircase. I had seen the murals numerous times before, but never had they seemed so real as they did to me that night on the NASA drug. The heavy double doors leading to the ballroom caused me to feel very small as I pulled with all my strength to open it. Inside, the room was a sea of black suits and ties, and I was relieved when Lamar Alexander ushered me back out into the lobby. Alexander positioned me near the trained mural as a cryptic indicator to those in the know that I was a trained mind-controlled slave. I was provided a box of brown envelopes packed with the Education 2000 information I was to hand out to the governors. Alexander instructed me on exactly what I was to say in conjunction with the message Bennett had programmed me within DC. Then he returned to the ballroom, where he apparently acted in the capacity of a pimp. "Are you waiting on the train?" a paunchy governor asked. "No, sir," I answered. Then, as instructed, I said, "But I do have a packet of information with your name on it. Shall I take it to your room for you?"
"Oh?
And what is my name?" he asked. "Governor," I responded. There actually were no names on the envelopes. "Astute," he responded, "and what is it you have for me?" "This packet," I answered, handing it to him, "and anything else you want." "Compliments of Lamar Alexander and tapped, Secretary of Education, Bill Bennett." According to some of the men, Alexander had cued them as to my position. Others, such as then-Governor of Pennsylvania, Dick Thornburgh and Ohio Governor Dick Celeste already knew me. I've got a packet of information with your name on it, I was saying as I bent over to lift one from the box. I don't think so, Governor Blanchard of Michigan interrupted. Bill Bennett wouldn't stoop so low as to insult me that way. I'm doing the same thing here you are, but from a very different approach. The figures I offer reflect the success of Education 2000 in the Michigan school system. I recognize Governor Blanchard, and was well aware of Michigan's ranking first in the nation in education, speaking of which, he continued, I believe I see your mother more often than you do these days since she is working in the schools. That little sister of yours, Kimmy, is a prime example of what proper instruction can produce. Your little sister is coming to Mackinac to further her skills. Your whole family is a prime example of how good Education 2000 works. I finally met up with Bonnie again in Lamar Alexander's room as the night came to a close. Bonnie, how's that snake of yours? He asked. Bonnie, who had been filmed pornographically by CIA commercial photographer Jimmy Walker with Dick Flood's snakes, had a pet boa constrictor. Great, Bonnie laughed. How's yours? Constricted, he replied. Bonnie unzipped his pants as she admittedly had done numerous times in the past, playfully saying, let it loose. Lamar Alexander began removing his pants. Referring to me in Project Monarch terms, he said, when I first saw you, you were a worm with no hint of being a butterfly. Daddy, Alex Houston, said she was a diamond in the rough. Bonnie volunteered, she shines now. Turning to me, he said, I know you are a shoe shiner, and mine need a shine. Bonnie, also familiar with the Stockyard booth and Lamar Alexander's meaning, laughed when he said, why don't you both take a foot? Task complete, I went to Bird's nearby room as instructed. He was in the bathroom preparing himself for bed. Louise had her feathers fuffled over Barbara's collision with Destiny and I had to smooth them down a bit, drying his dough-gray hands on a towel. He turned to me and said, looks like you've had your wings spread a bit tonight. I wore a path up and down the stairs, I stated. Much to my relief, he said, I'm not going to fiddle with you, Father. I just wanted to give you something to remember me by. He compartmentalized my memory with his stun gun. Soon thereafter, Kelly and I were transported to Mackinac Island, Michigan to meet with Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney at then-Governor James Blanchard's mansion. Houston led Kelly and me to a horse-drawn carriage as quickly as we stepped off the ferryboat onto the timeless, antiquated island. I noticed that the Canadian flags were again flying at the Grand Hotel, but was of no mind to question. Kelly sat quietly beside me, apparently drugged as our carriage took us through the woods to the governor's mansion. The guests in the mansion were reminiscent of the recent Tennessee Governor's Convention, Michigan Governor Blanchard, Ohio Governor Dick Celeste, and Pennsylvania Governor Dick Thornburgh. Guy Vanderjagt and Jerry Ford were also present. Mulroney appeared to be the guest of honor. He reached out his hands and greeted me. I told you I would see you somewhere in time. I slipped time, space, and distance to be here this evening. You and I have some ground to cover. Yes, sir. President Reagan's Global Education Secretary Bill Bennett has sent me to deliver this education packet directly to you. I was to deliver a large, brown envelope of documents similar to those handed out at the governor's convention. Blanchard excused himself. I've already heard the spiel, he said as he turned to his other guests, leaving Mulroney and me alone. Global education is the wave of the future, I recited as programmed. As the world gets smaller and smaller due to higher technology spanning the globe, our children must be educated in the ways of the world. Education as it is, barely equips them for life in their own backyard. We need to become involved in our children's education for the sake of their future and our legacy. Global education is the way. The only way. Look into it. I handed him the envelope. Peer into the future. Mulroney uncrossed his arms long enough to accept the envelope, which he casually tossed on a chair. I am interested in the children, the legacy we leave them, and how we shape their future by the way we record our history in their test. Using Order of the Rose cues, he signaled me to photographically record his words for future delivery. Tell Mr. Bennett SSS, he hissed, cryptically revealing his knowledge that Bill and Bob Bennett worked together using reptilian alien themes. Implementation is high. I'm already sold on Global 2000 and have additional points I would like for them to consider. Headsets at every computer station for openers. Double the impact with dual learning. We're being thrust forward at warp speed, and the generations of the future may need an added booster to bring them up to speed. A united global effort using your education package as a basis is destined to bring the future into a clear and present reality. Business complete, Mulroney triggered my sex programming and led me upstairs to the bedrooms where Kelly was robotically waiting, entranced under orders of the Rose One. I have witnessed girls die of suffocation from this practice, even though 3 to 5 minutes without breathing is common. 2. While Bonnie was not raised in Project Monarch, Houston's pedophilia and stage hypnosis techniques rendered Bonnie unable to control her own actions. Bonnie is a multiple with a record of prostitution in need of therapy and care. 3. Irby Mandrell openly discussed Senator Byrd's direct involvement in the Project Monarch government mind-controlled victimizations of his incestuously abused daughters with Houston. Having babies can be a lucrative way to feather your nest. That's what the Byrd taught me. Mandrell continued, Louise was a little withdrawn, and she needed to come out of her cocoon and spread her wings. I ran the idea by Byrd, and he said if she doesn't have a talent, let's make her one. What is a band without a fiddle? And viola, there she is. Another star on the rise launched from NASA City, USA, Huntsville, Alabama. 4. Friendships between mind-controlled slaves are usually forbidden, and conversations are kept to a minimum lest cross-programming triggering occurs. Throughout the years, my own relationship with the Mandrells was limited to a superficial basis, whereas Irby Mandrell employed Houston's hypnotic abilities to maintain mind control over his daughters while touring.